Genesis chapter 11. It's about the Tower of Confusion, the Tower of Babel. The place or the name was first mentioned in the book of Genesis chapter 10. And verse 10, that's where it was first mentioned. The mention in this passage, Genesis 10:10, is key to the first 9 verses of chapter 11. In other words, verse 10 gives us an understanding of the previous 9 verses and what they are about. What is interesting and enlightening is that in the language of that time and the usage of the word in chapter 10, verse 10, the word Babel or Babel at that time meant the gate of God. What we are going to notice is how the meaning changed in this passage of Genesis chapter 11. But previous to that, when you study the origin of that word, the meaning is the gate, that is G-A-T-E, the gate of God. But after the people of this area, after they took the path of selfish, godless ambition. Yes, I said ambition. And if you will remember what was read, you will see that they were ambitious. Now, ambition is not a bad thing, but ambition can lead us in ungodly path, and it often does, as the text here will show. So, after their godless, selfish ambition, not only did the meaning of the word change, but many other things changed thereafter. The word then come to mean not the gate of God, but confusion. And throughout the entire Bible, wherever you see the word Babel, that is the meaning. And it took on that concept, that connotation, that idea, right here when the people's ambition led them contrary to God's purpose for them. In fact, let me just drop here and I'm going ahead of myself in the lesson. What you're going to notice is that God had a plan for humanity then. They took it upon themselves to build a city. Wait. To build skyscrapers that would that would be an obstacle. It would provide an obstacle against God's purpose and plan being realized. One of the great and important lessons for us from this text, that is Genesis chapter 11, verse 1 through 9, one of the great lessons is that when man rejects, abandon, turn from God and his word, confusion always inevitably follow. Now that is a fact. The confusion may not come immediately, like the next day or the next month or even the next year. But when men and women with selfish ambition turn from God's purpose, there is no blessing to follow there, only confusion. And that means it will be confusion for the individual. It will be confusion for the nation. It will be confusion for the world. When the individual, when the nation, when the world turn against God. In the world today, and especially in those countries that we term, quote unquote, developed countries, we see in the area of morality, or in this case, immorality, we see abnormality is being forced upon everyone for you to accept it. For you, for us to accept the fact that a man can relate to another man sexually, or a woman relate to another woman sexually, and you should see that as normal. But what is noticed that there is an undercurrent of confusion. Now, two men married and they adopt a child, and one of the men is a mother. I mean, my God, even in their own sight, that must look a certain way to them. I mean, when two men live together as husband and wife, man and woman, my God. And sooner or later, we are going to see some of the undesirable consequences that come from that. Man does not turn his back and God's plain directive, and you do not suffer the consequence. Trying to build a skyscraper. Remember the purpose of this, and if you have not yet seen it when we get back to the passage, the purpose of this was to keep them together. But somebody said, Brother Mitchell, isn't that a wonderful thing? Not when, in fact, let me put it this way, there is some unity that is sinful. That's right. That's right. This was one of them. They wanted to remain together. But the reason, the purpose for which they wanted to remain together, to be one, to be united, was to divert God's plan and purpose. Was to escape it. Notice verse 1. In verse 1, unity. Notice verse 1.
And the whole earth was of one language.
The whole earth, that's unity, was of one language. Well, God fixed it that way at the beginning. The entire earth. One language. Read on.
And of one speech.
And one speech. That's verse 1.
And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they
What verse is that?
Verse 2.
Verse 2. Just step down to verse 3.
And they said to one another, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And
What we're approaching now, verse 1 tells us of the oneness, the unity that existed. Now, verse 3 and 4 is enlightening us on how godless, worldly ambition going to step in and give them reason to push God's purpose one side. So start verse 3 and verse 4 now.
And they said to one another, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone. And slime had they for mortar.
Yeah, what you notice too is their smartness. Don't move from their smartness. You know, we think concrete mortar is a modern thing. No, here. but this, their smartness points to the greatness of the Almighty God. They learned then. That's thousands of years ago. If not millions, they learned to mix mortar. That's right. Read on, brother.
And they said, go to, let us build a city and a tower.
Let us build a city, a tower. That's what we call skyscrapers. You know, the concept in the word skyscraper is that it's so tall it is scraping the sky. Read, brother.
Whose top may reach unto heaven.
Whose top may reach unto heaven. Read on.
And let us make us a name.
And let us make us a name. All that is part of their ambition. They want to be famous. Read on.
Lest we be scattered abroad upon the face.
Wait. That's key. May I? Don't miss that. Lest we be what?
Scattered abroad. Upon the face of the whole earth.
Brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, it's good to see Brother Simit in church. I wasn't here last week, so he might have been here. Really good to see you, Brother Smith, back with us. Yes. Lest we be scattered
abroad.
Abroad.
Upon the face of the whole earth.
Brothers and sisters, God wanted them to be scattered abroad and replenish the earth. In fact, let me jump ahead of myself. Run down to verse 10.
These are the generations of Shem.
Step up to verse 9.
Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad.
Who scattered them abroad?
The Lord.
That is God's plan. God wanted them to be scattered abroad and to replenish the earth. God did not want humanity after sin entered the world to stay in one place. It's no mistake that the Almighty God made the earth this large, this big. God's intent was that man scattered and have children and replenish the earth. The selfish ambition of the people of Babel was that they build a skyscraper to keep them in one place. That's not what God wanted. This is a situation, like many other unity, you know, that is contrary to the will of God. I think it is in Matthew chapter 10, Jesus Christ said that I come not to bring peace among men, but division. That's right. Father shall be against son and what and what. So there's some unity when men and women join together for wrong, to oppose and go against the will of God. That type of unity is sinful. When men and women join together, create unity to serve God, that unity is a blessed unity. This one was not. So in verse 3 through 4, we see the godless, worldly ambition using the wrong, godless, secular things to unite them. That is in verse 4. They wanted this famous city that they're about to build to be the unifying object among them. That's what would keep them together. The result is they provoke the Almighty God to send confusion among them. Religious union is not the basis for God's unity. When churches come together in what I would term artificial union, we are all one, but the things that divide us, when you go to your church, you preach what you want to preach. When I go back to my church, I preach what I want to preach. And let us not interfere with one another. That is not the unity, rather, that is not the union that God wants. That's right. And if you doubt me, read the New Testament, because the inspired apostle of Jesus Christ wherever they see the head of this type of devilish union raising its head, they speak against it. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, and somebody read it. Verse 10 to verse 12.
Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord, Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing.
Wait, watch here now. That's another thing. The Almighty God has established the what I would call the basis of unity, religious unity. If it's going to be biblical, if it's going to be godly, if it's going to keep us together as one in Jesus Christ, we should all speak the same thing. It just lay down here. That you all speak the same thing and that there be
perfectly joined together.
We must be perfectly joined together.
In the same mind.
In the same mind.
And in the same judgment.
Do you know that that means that we should arrive at the same understanding of God's words? Same mind, same judgment. So when we come together, 3, 4, 5, 6, or 20, or a thousand, or a dozen, or 100 different denominations come together as a union. And now and again they will use the word unity, but they preach different things. You become a member differently. Here, 100 church leaders will meet at this place to discuss whatever issue they feel they need to meet to discuss. And they would consider themselves one. Yet, when the members of these 100 different churches go to his or her various congregation, or if I want to become a member of this one, I'm going to be told something different from when I go to become a member of that other one. And I'm going to be told something differently, how to become a member of this one over here. That is not unity. That is division, sinful division. The Bible says that we should all speak the same thing and we should join together perfectly. Read on.
For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among
you. There are contention among you.
Now this I say.
This I mean. The word "this I say" have the idea. Paul is saying, this is what I'm talking about. The division and the consideration that I'm speaking about. Here is part. When Paul mentioned here how part of this division come, he wasn't saying this is the only thing. Just notice this. Just notice this. Read.
That every one of you saith, I am of Paul.
So you have a Saint Paul church here.
And I of Apollos.
You have a Saint Apollos church here.
And I of Cephas.
You have a Saint Peter. That's a Saint Cephas is Peter. You have a Saint Peter church here.
And I of Christ.
You have a church of Christ. Thank God. That's right. And somebody will say, Brother Mitchell, wasn't that a part of the division? Give me a minute to come down to that. What you have, brothers and sisters, is unauthorized man-made names being used to divide the church of Christ. Unauthorized. But Brother Mitchell, nothing is wrong in a name. Who tell you that? The last time I checked, the Bible tells me that there is no other name given under heaven whereby men must be saved. You cannot be saved in St. Peter, St. Paul, Carl Mitchell's name. The passages, Acts of the Apostles, chapter 4 and verse 8, the Bible tells me also in Peter, talk about that glorious name by which you are called. So don't tell me that there is, in fact, when you say that there is nothing in a name, you are contradicting the Almighty God. Because God says there is something in the name Jesus Christ. Read down a little. So what I'm saying, this was what they were using, or one of the things to divide them. Does unauthorized and scriptural names still divide men and women today? It does. Is it still sinful? It is as ungodly as it was in 1 Corinthians. Read down a little further.
Is Christ divided?
Is Christ divided? Wait. You must get the drift here. These, St. Paul, St. Apollos, St. Peter, Christ. Is Christ divided? What is the response to that question? No. What does it mean? Jesus Christ is not divided into St. Paul, St. Apollos, St. Peter. And if he's not divided in those man-made names, his church is not divided either. When you and I take it upon ourselves to divide it, we become sinful in God's sight. But I like the other question. Read.
Was Paul crucified for you?
Do you get the drift? It's important that we get that. This is why I said, wait. Let me explain, Church of Christ. The idea there is that we are to identify ourselves religiously by no other name other than the one who was crucified for us. So if you're going to name yourself, then what more appropriate name than Church of Christ? You don't believe me? Step down to chapter 2 and verse 2.
For I determined not.
I determined not to know anything among you save
Jesus Christ.
You get it? All I want to hear among you, Paul says, I don't want to hear about Paul and Cephas and Apollos. I want to hear about Jesus Christ. Going to a church that call itself Carl Mitchell, you are at the wrong church. You're going to one that call itself Baptist, you are at the wrong place. You're going to one that call itself Seventh-day Adventist, you are at the wrong place. And brothers and sisters, what you should always use is that verse, is that verse 13 you are there? Verse 13, is Christ divided? Yes. Mark verse 13. Because the idea there is that the one name by which you should identify yourself is the one who was crucified for you. Division. What I'm showing is the godless, sinful division that exists today. God created division because men and women use their ambitious undertaking as a rallying point to undermine God's purpose. What is God's purpose? Brother Mitchell, in the case of the people in Genesis chapter 11, God's purpose is that they scattered and multiply throughout the earth. That was God's purpose. They didn't want to be scattered. The Tower of Babel was meant to become their rallying point. Even the word Babylon, which is the Greek form of the Hebrew Babel. Babel is Hebrew, Babylon is the Greek form of that word. And the word Babylon itself also means division and confusion. May I point out something here to brothers and sisters? It is important to be mindful of God's plan and purpose and to respect it. That is for us, but that has always been. What I've just said, I'm saying is that we must make sure that we spend our entire life learning God's plan and purpose, and that we show respect for it by trying to embrace it. Two places in Proverbs, I find it striking. I find it instructive that two places in the writing of the wise man Solomon, we are told that there is a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. In the case of the people of Babel, they, I imagine how elated they were over their ambition. They invented Marta, and now they are building skyscraper. Man, how smart we are. It never dawned on them that their way would bring the wrath of God on them. Look at the passage of Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12 and 16:25. Same book, Proverbs 14. 12, 16, 25.
There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death.
There is a way which looks right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. The people of Babel, they were elated over what they achieve and what they look forward to achieving. But that was against the will of God. The brothers just read, is it 14:12? Read now, 16:25.
There is a way that seemeth right unto a man.
The very thing. There is a way which seems right unto a man.
But in the end thereof.
Why the man Solomon repeat this? Solomon, you're writing. You have just said the thing a while ago. Are you getting senile? No. The truth expressed is so important that it needed repetition. The city and Tower of Babel had its origin in deliberate, determined, enthusiastic, exalting hostility to the divine plan. These people, wait, if I didn't say this, I say it now. They knew that God's plan was for them to settle all over the earth, not one place. Why? The Almighty God always finds ways to enlighten men and women in reference to what He wants. Always to what He wants. So it's not that these people, but they were deliberate, they were determined, they were enthusiastic, and they were hostile to God's plan and purpose that they should spread themselves abroad over the face of the earth. That we see in verse 8. As I've said, the tower was to unite them to achieve this purpose. Here's another thing you must learn from this passage of Genesis chapter 11, that is, no work of man can hope to escape the eyes of the Almighty God. We must remember that. No work that man does, no undertaking that man does, good or evil, you cannot undertake anything that will escape God's eye. The confusion arising from the Tower of Babel is a timeless message to men and women everywhere that confusion and uncertainty will inevitably result when God and His word is rejected, ignored, abandoned, replaced, and excluded. You know, I have pointed at this, I'm sure I've shared this with you, about the dog who was traveling, well, not the dog, was shipped from one port at a train station to another port. The dog got hungry and ate the tag. So nobody on the train knew where the dog was going or where the dog even come from. Are we all there? May I? Have you ever thought that every modern piece of machine, every modern piece of machine has a manual? Are we all there? Every car is built and has a manual. The manual is to tell you how it operates and how to get the best use out of it. Every piece of machine that is authentic and put together by sensible people, and it is functional, it has a manual. And the manual serve that purpose, to tell you how the machine works and how you can relate to it in a right way and how to benefit from it. If you want good from that machine, be it the car or whatever, if you want lasting, beneficial, trouble-free service, follow the manual. Brothers and sisters, the Almighty God give this human machine a manual also. That's right. When God created man, He didn't just create us and throw us out there. There is a manual called the Bible. It is to tell us what we are to do, how we are to live, to get the best out of this life and the one to come, and how to please God, our Creator. Look here now. You better don't ignore the manual. You don't ignore the manual and operate smoothly, successfully. You can't. The Bible is here to tell us that we are from God. The Bible is here to tell us that we are put here to serve God. The Bible is here to tell us how we are to live both with ourselves and with one another. To be at peace with self, with God, and with one another. To have a fulfilled, satisfactory life. Don't ignore the manual. May I? The word of God, be it written or spoken, is man's operational manual from God. God is the builder of this human machine. God is the manufacturer. God is the inventor of this human machine. There is no way you can ignore God's word and get the best out of life. Turn that around. The best way to get the best out of life is follow the Bible. The people of Babel decided to put one side what they knew God wanted them to do. God wanted them to scatter over the earth and replenish it. They felt that's foolishness. We want to stay together. They reap the consequences. So as I've said, there is no way that God and his operational manual or his word can be ignored, rejected, excluded, or abandoned. And you do not end up with confusion, perplexity, uncertainty, and discontent. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 8. We're coming down to the end of the lesson. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 8.
Now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt mind, reprobate concerning the faith.
That's it. May I? Reprobate. Their mind, their thinking, their ways are clouded. That's one of the concepts in the word reprobate. It's a person who cannot think straight, cannot think right. Men and women who reject God's plan for his or her life, you are not thinking right. And it matters not how many university degrees you may have. If you fight against God's truth, your mind will never be able to think right. The word reprobate as used in the Bible carries that concept of a mind, a thinking, a way of looking on things that is perverted and cloudy. Romans chapter 1 verse 28 is another example of a cloudy, perverted mind. Romans 1 verse 28.
And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge.
In fact, brother, read verse 24 and 26.
24.
Uh-huh.
Wherefore, mm-hmm. God also gave them up to uncleanness
uh-huh.
through the lust of their own hearts
uh-huh.
to dishonor their own bodies between themselves.
That's verse 24, 26 now.
For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections.
Mm-hmm.
For even their women did change.
Then step down now to verse 28.
And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over.
You'll notice three verses in the one chapter speak about God giving man up.
Amen.
That's a terrible state to be when the Almighty God turned his back on any human being. And that comes when a man or a woman ceases to show any regard, any respect for the word of God. When men and women, out of their own pride and ignorance, resist God's directive with joy. It's not that they make a mistake here or there. No, it's where they find joy and satisfaction in opposing that which God wants. God gave them up. May I? When Judas end up taking his own life, are we all there? Brothers and sisters, people in our time are taking their lives. Have you ever thought that in some of these cases, God might have given up on that man or woman? And what I'm saying here is that let us, as God's people, take greater interest in knowing God's will and purpose and showing respect for it. Because even a child of God can drift little by little to the extent that not only you backslide, but that you become an enemy of the cross of Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 1 verse 28 that the brother has just read is saying in effect that you refuse God's word. You reject God's word. You include God and his word. The only true compass, the only true chart, the only true guide, the only true map, the only true manual in life. When you do that, the Almighty God will also give you over to a reprobate mind. That is a mind that is confused, mixed up. Listen, Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 25. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 25. And another brother, quick. With also Proverbs 20, 24. Let us hear Jeremiah.
We lie down.
That is 325.
We lie down in our shame.
We lie down in our shame.
And our confusion
covereth us.
For we have sinned against the Lord our God.
We have sinned. That's why our confusion. What the writer here, Jeremiah, is saying, that here are men and women, they are so confused every day they get up, they don't know what to do in life. They are confronted with different issues. Where the average normal child of God knows how to navigate around those issues and challenges and problems with the help of God. But the men and women who arrogantly reject God's word, they are covered with confusion. That is Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 25. Look at Proverbs. Did I say chapter 20, verse 24? That's what I said?
Yes, brother.
That's the right one.
Man's goings are of the Lord. How can a man then understand his own way?
I like that. In fact, I'm going to close it. Man's going is of the Lord. Eh? The writer, the wise man, is saying, for you to understand yourself, you need God's help. That's right. For you to understand yourself, not for you to understand another person, for you to understand yourself, you're going to need God's word and God's guidance. Man's going is of the Lord. As you go through life, the Almighty God is involved. Don't ever act like you do not need Him because you need God. So the lesson, the takeaway from Babel, as I've said, from chapter 11 onward throughout the entire Bible, the word comes to mean confusion. And they replace God's purpose and plan with their own purpose and plan. Wherever man does that, he will always experience confusion, perplexity, and be in alienation from the Almighty God. Let us, as God's people, learn more about God's will, God's purpose for our lives. Let us not only learn God's will and God's purpose for our life, but let us show respect for it. Let us be convinced that God's will and God's purpose, when it is embraced, when it is respected, when it is practiced, it will help to guide us as we go through life. Are you here today and you have never become a Christian the Bible's way? Jesus Christ has a plan for you. We call it Christ's plan of salvation. And that is, that's Jesus' plan to save every man and every woman. It is so simple that men and women are trying to push it one side and come up with their own idea. God's plan include hearing that Jesus Christ died for your sin. That you must believe that Christ, who went to Calvary over 2,000 years ago, he was and is the Son of God. He wants to save you, but he can save you only his way. So his way means that you believe in him, and as a result of your belief, you repent of your sin. That is, you give up your ungodly ways and turn to Christ. And then from repenting, you will be willing to confess his name to show that you are not ashamed of him. And after confessing his name, you will submit yourself to the watery grave of baptism. But Mr. Mitchell, can't I be saved without going into the water? No, you can't. Why? Because Jesus Christ makes baptism a part of the condition to salvation. You must be baptized. Is it that we like it? Well, you must be baptized not because we like it. No, we happen to like it. We happen to like it because it is the wise will of God. But even if we hate it, you still must be baptized in order to get forgiveness. But Mr. Mitchell, suppose I fast and pray for 1 month. Do it for 10 years and your sins are still there. Fast and praying and not taking the initial step of salvation laid down in the gospel of Christ. You can fast and pray and your sin are still held against you.